I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 9. Yes, I have a brief message today to share with you to follow up our message from our missionaries. And in preparation for our commissioning service that we're going to share for several missionaries right here from our church. While you're finding Acts chapter 9, I want to share this with you. I have two charges, two things that I want to charge you with today. One, and first to the church, and then secondly to the missionaries. William Carey, you may have heard of William Carey. He's what we call the father of the modern missionary movement. He was a cobbler, which means he made shoes, and that was his trade. After his conversion, after he came to know Jesus Christ, he felt a call to ministry, and it was so strong that he began to work towards mission and mission projects. He said this, he said, "My work is to preach the gospel, but I cobble shoes to pay my expenses." Sounds like Paul, doesn't he? He made tents. He led others in forming a society to send out missionaries, and they formed what we have been calling the Baptist Missionary Society in 1792. So Baptists have been working on missions for a long time. And the very first mission field that they chose was India. Andrew Fuller was the secretary, and he said this, and I'm going to quote him. He said, "We saw that there was a great spiritual gold mine in India, but it seemed as deep as the center of the earth." Listen to this. He says, "Now, who will venture out to explore it?" And William Carey responded, he said, "I'm willing to go down into the deep and go down that deep shaft, but you, brethren, must hold the ropes." If you would, picture this. A man being lowered down into a very deep cavern, if you will, to discover its riches, all the while people are up top holding the ropes that lower him down so that he can do so in safety, but also to supply his needs while he's down there. Both the one who is lowered into the work is important, but the ones holding the rope are just as important and vital to his success in the mission. Now, there is a spiritual parallel to this, and we're going to read it right now. Or should I even say that my story is a parallel to Scripture? Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? And we're going to read Acts chapter 9, and if you recognize this scripture, you know that this is the chapter that's recorded when Paul, or should we say Saul of Tarsus, was struck down on the road to Damascus, and he was called by the Lord Jesus Christ to turn his heart to him. After he did that, after he was struck down, he was struck blind, he went into town. Ananias was there. Ananias baptizes Saul, and he becomes Paul, and he is ready to begin his mission work after being converted. Now, in verse 20, we're going to pick up right there. It says, "Immediately after he came in and was baptized, he, Paul, preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?'" So what happened? We know that Saul had been out persecuting Christians. And they said, "Wait a minute, isn't this man who's talking about Jesus being the Christ and the Son of God, isn't he the one who was persecuting Christians and bringing them to their death? He's here to fool us." That's what they're saying. "He's here to try to catch us and to turn us in to the chief priests." But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Now, why would they watch the gates? Because if you've ever been to Israel, you know that Jerusalem was surrounded by a large wall. It was the defense. And you couldn't get in or out except by one of the gates. So it says they were watching the gates because they couldn't find him. They had hidden him, and they were watching for him to escape. So they watched the gates by day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. I don't know if you've ever let somebody lower you with a rope. And I don't know how big a basket they had, but I'm going to tell you, that's a scary thought to me.
But he was willing to do whatever he had to escape with his life. It says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the church throughout all Judea, listen to this, then the church throughout all Judea, all of Galilee, and all of Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. And they were multiplied because of whose testimony and preaching? Saul, the man who had persecuted the church. Would you be seated? So effective was Paul's preaching. So effective was Paul's testimony that his own countrymen wanted to kill him. Why? Because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, he was the Jew among Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was one of those folks who was the teacher and the preacher. And he had turned against their old teaching. Or actually, he had accepted the real old teaching and knew that Jesus was the Messiah of whom they taught. And under the cover of darkness, because they wanted to kill him, they put him in this big basket and they lowered him over the side. So soon after that began his missionary journeys. You may recall that it said that in all these different places that Paul began to preach, and that they were all edified and unified in the Spirit of God. They had to put him in a basket, put him over the side of the wall. Somebody said this, I don't know who it was, but they said that Paul had to become a basket case in order to serve God. Some of us need to crawl into that basket and escape where we are and really get down to the business of serving God. Listen, folks, this is a great example of what we call partnership missions. Partnership missions. The man in the basket was one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. And those who held the ropes, those who helped him to escape, they had a partnership then in every mission that Paul took after that. Every sermon that Paul preached after being lowered down to escape with his life, they had bought into it. They were responsible for his life being saved, and thus Paul continued to serve the Lord. So folks, they were a partner in every mission trip that he ever took from that point forward. Does that make sense to you? We don't even know their names. It didn't say who they were, but like many of servants in God's work, they just were not public stars. They held the ropes for Paul in obscurity. It is those quiet folks whose names are never put in the bulletin, those quiet folks whose names never get put on the board, they never get put in the newspaper, who quietly pray and support and encourage our missionaries that make all the difference. They are holding the ropes for those who have decided that they will go down. They are the ones who give the security. They're the ones who supply what's needed. They held the ropes for Paul. In June 1850, there was a church meeting. Now, a very late snowstorm came in. I don't know how it happened, but there was a snowstorm. And the preacher must have gotten lost because the history says that the pastor didn't show up. And so one of the men got up, began to share the truth, and he began to preach a sermon for 10 minutes. And he said, you know, I really don't know a whole lot of sermon material, but he said, I'm going to share what I know. And he shared this sermon, look unto me and be saved. And he read the scriptures from the Bible. And a man walked in during that service who had not planned on being there, but because of the snowstorm, he had gotten lost, and he said, well, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to take shelter until the storm is over. He walks in, he hears this sermon, and that young man got saved because One of the men in the church decided that since the preacher wasn't there, he was going to make sure the word got shared. You know who that man was? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I wonder, would he have gotten saved if he had gotten to where he was wanting to go? If he had not been there to hear this message? Another man was working in a shoe store, and his Sunday school teacher came to visit him. And he began to share with him in the shoe store about Jesus Christ and how to be saved. And that's how D.L. Moody got saved. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of great names. I don't know if you remember all the different people that we say, man, these are just giants in the kingdom of God. But most of us will never know the name of the people who led them to the Lord. But they were holding the ropes. They never quit. You may not know, and that's what the point I'm getting to, you may never know the name of the people that you are holding ropes for by supporting missions, by praying for missionaries. But I'm going to tell you, folks, be faithful to it. Church family, be faithful to it. Years of faithfulness may indeed reveal that it was the rope of another Paul, or the rope of another Billy Graham, or the rope of another D.L. Moody or C.H. Spurgeon. You just never know whose rope you're holding. Be faithful to hold the rope. Don't stop. Don't quit. You may be the very last connection that they have to be able to stay in the mines, to be able to stay over the edge. Your love, your care, your support, your prayers might make all the difference. You might be the last stage of their ability to stay. What would you do if you're the one dangling at the end of that rope? Hoping for some support, praying for some encouragement, praying for the needs of the people that you're serving. Folks, I'm going to ask you, church family, please stand with us. Stand in your heart. Don't stop supporting missions and giving and caring and going and praying. Don't stop. That's my first charge. Here's my second charge this morning, and it is to the missionaries that we are sending even this summer. So I'm going to ask, if you're one of those missionaries, would you stand right now? If you're one of our missionaries, Justin Centilli is one of those missionaries. Mike and Terry Cruz are a couple of those missionaries. Robin Ann Duttwiler are a couple of those missionaries. And of course, we're going to include Phil and Rhonda Barnes. Y'all stand too. And would y'all come forward? Come forward, would you? I'm going to give you a charge as well. Should I say we are going to give you that charge? Just stand right here if you would. And if you would, just stand it here. And I'm going to ask you to face me right here, right in the middle. Okay, there you go. Church family, you pray with them. They weren't real sure what they were getting into when I told them we were going to do this morning. I'm going to ask you, and we've got, Phil, if you would you get one of those microphones over there? As Phil goes to get that, I'm going to ask each one of these to share very quickly their name, where they're going, and what they're going to be doing. I know that Phil and Rhonda have shared, so we're going to start right here. So if you would.
Okay. Terry and Mike Cruz, we're going to be going to Costa Rica. We will be sharing a celebration for one of the indigenous girls in the Quebecer community who, God bless her, she was able to go to nursing school, and she will be graduating in November. We're going to go celebrate with her family and the other Quebecer Indians with our two doctor friends there, Judith and Alexei, in celebration for an accomplishment that is just amazing for one of the indigenous people from that community. No one has ever gotten a degree from there before, and she's going to go back into the reservation to serve her people.
Amen.
We're going to go to Keffi, Nigeria.
Oh, sorry. You have to tell us who you are first.
Oh, sorry. Robert Duttwiler and my darling bride, Grace Ann. And we're going to Keffi, Nigeria to work. We work with an orphanage and school there. They're similar. They're orphans and at-risk children who've lost a father, fatherless, and similar, no social network. Once elementary school is over, there's no schooling for these children if they don't pay. And so the pastor there has started a church, started an orphanage and a school, and this is their first graduating class. And so we're going to go for the graduation in July, and then in October we'll probably go for a week where we have meetings, Bible studies, all the fun things to these students.
And y'all serve on the board here.
Yes, yeah, so,
right?
We're on the board
the orphanage.
Of the here. And so we bring kind of organization, process, skills that are kind of missing in Africa. So Africa is very fun because every day you wake up, it's a new day. And what you decided yesterday doesn't necessarily stay till tomorrow. So
amen. These are not just summer ropes. These are year-long ropes, aren't
they? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I'm Justin Santilli. I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio, doing work with Somalian refugees. Columbus is the second largest population of Somalian refugees outside of Somalia itself, second only to St. Louis, I think. So we're going to be doing work with children, doing like summer tutoring and stuff like that, and sharing the gospel with them as we tutor, and then doing work with the parents of those children as well to hopefully start little churches and things like that, because the area is mostly Muslim.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We appreciate that. So I'm going to come back to the charge public to the church in just a moment. But to those who are going to be lowered in the basket, I speak to you. I charge you now, friends, brothers, sisters, fellow servants, called to ministry. I charge you to share the gospel at every opportunity. I know you go and do a lot of things. There's so much care when you try to take care of people. It's 90% or more of the work just taking care of needs and getting to where their hearts will hear. But I charge you, share the gospel in every little moment, the tiny moments and the big moments. I ask you, share the gospel from the smallest ones to the youngest ones to the grandmas and grandpas, the poppies and the mamas, and the babies too. With those interested and those who are not, because you just never know what heart is being worked on. Even though they put out the front, the word gets through. And we may say, you know, they really don't want to hear. You know what? You're not charged with whether they want to or not. You're charged with sharing it. You plant the seed. God is in charge of whether it takes or not. Amen? So you share with those. You never know who might be brought to the kingdom through your word of God. I charge you to go in God's strength, not your own. Do not trust yourself in strength or in knowledge or in plan. Don't trust your own abilities, but trust God's plan and let God lead you. Listen to his leading of your heart. Hear him. And when he speaks, be obedient to his call. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says this, not by might, not by strength, but how? By my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So I charge you to pray without ceasing. I charge you to call on God's help for all that you do, and under God's protection and God's providence, for you to return here again, each and every one of you, and to share what God has done for you and through you. I ask you now, and I charge you with this. Do you so agree? Yes. Then before the Lord, you have your charge and your commission. Church family, would you stand with me? You've heard the testimony and you've heard the plans of these, some in great detail, some in just 15 seconds. But I'm asking you, will you pray for these? Will you hold the ropes? Will you give them the encouragement? And we as a church, I'm going to tell you right now, because of your giving right here, we are going to be supporting these events. So I'm going to ask, as God leads you and you feel led to either give more or go yourself or pray or to encourage, will you do these things as God leads you? And if you will, I ask you, and I charge you with this, so I ask you, will you be faithful to that? If you will, then say, yes, I will. You heard it. You've got a lot of rope holders here. We're going to be faithful. And it may be that some of you need to get in the basket. Maybe it's to Nigeria. It might be all the way to that, the land of of Illinois, Chicago, Columbus, bad enough. It might be in Romania or Costa Rica. But I'm going to ask you right now, would you join me in prayer over these? That's going to be our first prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask and pray for your protection. Amen. We ask and God and pray for your blessing. We ask and pray, God, for your power. God, we ask and pray for your providence in every way. The leadership of your Holy Spirit to put them in just the right spot. Maybe they miss a bus. Maybe they miss a ride. Or maybe someone else does. And you put them in your providence in a place they weren't expecting to be. But I pray, God, that they share the gospel and your love wherever they're at. Divine appointments, Father, throughout this year, this summer. We ask that you be with them and guard them. Bring them back safely to us, Lord, that they might report, that you might be praised here. Now I'm going to ask you missionaries, if you would you just kind of spread out across the front up here? Just, I'm going to ask my prayer partners, would you stand and would you come forward as well? Those who are praying, our prayer partners, to go to the sides. And I'm going to ask you this, church family. Have you ever felt led to go on a mission trip? Maybe you didn't know where. Maybe you feel called to missions and you just don't know what. But you'd just like somebody to pray with you. Do you know we've got some missionaries right here, full-time missionaries right here, vocational missionaries. And you'd just like to say, you know, I just kind of feel this. Would you pray for me and can we talk? You know what? They're going to be here for a little while. You can come and Phil or Rhonda, will pray with you and for you. We have others that I know would love to pray with you and pray over you. Would you yield to the call of God? Would you join me in this prayer? Father, if you have called others, bring them, Lord. I pray that they would step forward and ask for prayer. God, that they would seek how to go and to do what you've called them to do. Lord, that is our prayer this morning, that you would move the hearts of many. Father, maybe some that you've led just to be financial partners or prayer partners or letter writing encouragement partners or to go themselves. Father, if that is on their hearts, Lord, lead them to come and to pray and make that commitment to you and to them.